Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak the word of God, to speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just ask that in the name of Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll open the hearts and open the minds and open the ears of the hearer and deliver your message. Deliver your message that you might be glorified, lives changed, and souls saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Today, sometimes the Lord just speaks so strong to you, and you don't really know why. You just know that this is a message that you need to get out, that you need to put out. And because you got Christmas coming up, and we celebrate the incarnation, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We don't know the day, y'all. Nobody knows the exact day, but you know what? We know he lived, we know he was born, and so we celebrate the fact that he was born, and we just happen to pick December 25th as that day, and it's an important day, and unfortunately, a lot of saints allow the world to kind of get us off our game, and we're celebrating the day. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We're getting ready for Christmas. We're planning out what we're going to do, how we're going to decorate, how we're going to dazzle, how we're going to delight friends, family members, and all with our Christmas celebration. I guess you could say we're looking forward to that day. But today, we're going to be looking at a very important link in the prophetic chain. Today, we're going to talk about it's going to be, up until Christmas, I'm going to be dealing with how do we get to the whole thing about Christmas. And we're going to be dealing with a link in the prophetic chain that we don't really look at that often. But I want you to start paying a little bit closer attention to that link in the prophetic chain. And it's in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah speaks of one who is coming that will prepare the way for the Messiah. That's the Jewish anointed one, Jesus. We don't refer him as Jesus. I guess you could say God's looking forward to that day when he would be presenting the world with the most precious gift of all, his son, Jesus, the Christ, the long-promised Messiah, the anointed one, his only begotten Son. But how do we know which one who says he's the Christ is the Christ? Because many back then said, I'm the Christ. There's even some today. Louis Farrakhan says he is the Christ. So how do we know who is the Christ? What do we look for? What do we listen for? The Bible says, listen for the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The four gospel writers all speak in unison, proclaiming this voice to be the voice of John the Baptist. And today we're going to talk about that voice, and we're going to talk about the one who brings the message of prepare ye the way of the Lord. Why is that so important? Why do we need to know about John the Baptist? Why do all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why do all four of them make mention of John the Baptist? Because if there is no John, then we have not seen Jesus. No John, no Jesus. Because the Bible says clearly in Isaiah, it's got to be the one who comes crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way. Roll out the red carpet. Get ready. He's coming. He's here. But if John is not who John says he is, if John is not who Jesus says he is, if John is not who history says he is, no John, no Jesus. If John is who he says he is, if John is who history says he is, then what we're talking about today is of importance to the Christian world, but it's of utmost to our Jewish friends, because they're still waiting, y'all. See, you and I have accepted what John said. They're still looking for the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. And so if we were to take to heart today the things that we've gathered today, God will put you in the path of folks, Jewish folks and Christian folks, who don't know about this. They don't know this message. And guess what? It's our responsibility and our privilege to tell them, because the book of Romans says to us, God said, I saved you for what? Oh, so I could sit on the pews and shout hallelujah and get a free ride to heaven. No, no. God saved you and he saved me to provoke the Jew to jealousy. We get caught up in a whole lot of other isms and schisms and stuff going there. But God said, I called you, I gave you the gospel so that my people didn't give the gospel to you like they were supposed to. So I took it from them and I gave it to you. And I said to you, you need to have a heart for my people and give them the gospel. And one of the major stumbling blocks for them is they're waiting for that voice crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Today, if we can get that message across, if more of us can share that message, guess what? On Christmas morning, it won't just be us. It'll be Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, praising God and thanking him for sending his son. And we could all say together to everybody, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Roll out the red carpet, because Jesus wants you and he's here. Our text will be coming from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about prepare ye the way of the Lord. That phrase, that refrain that, like I said, all four gospel writers attributed that refrain to John the Baptist. And he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Bible says, in Isaiah says, the Messiah, whoever you think the Messiah is, if you don't hear this before him, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the path. If there's not a forerunner, if there's not a John the Baptist, then there's not a Jesus. There's not the Messiah, has not come yet. But if we can show from scriptures that John the Baptist is the forerunner, John the Baptist is that voice, then we can work our way forward to Christmas morning, because we know the truth of the gospel. In this text, we're going to start here with Isaiah, but we're going to spend a lot of time over in the New Testament with the Gospels. But I just want you to stay with me. I got some writing for you to do. The text will be up on the wall as usual. But I just want you to stay with me and see what thus saith the Lord. In chapter 40, in Isaiah chapter 40, I look at this as God's command to the church, to the church. He says, comfort ye my people. Comfort ye Israel. See, we got some hard times in America right now, y'all. We got some difficult times in America. But we got people over in Israel right now where their enemies are literally running them down in the streets with cars and then getting out the cars and trying to chop them up with knives. But the world is focused elsewhere. It's called, I said Wednesday night, I said it's like a classic misdirection play. When I used to watch a lot of football, and there was Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders of the Detroit Lions, which was one of the sorriest teams in the world. And Barry Sanders was one of the greatest running backs ever. And you would see where Barry would start off heading left, full speed, and all the defense would go right after him. But next thing you know, here's a pileup of the defense, and Barry's over there. It's called misdirection. See, right now, you and I, we got personal stuff going on. We got money problems. We got health problems. We got all kinds. We got marriage problems. We got all kinds of issues going on, right? But did not God promise to take care of everything you need? Did he not make that promise to you? And then after he made that promise to us, he said, I got something for you to do. My people, comfort ye, my people. Speak comfortably to them because they're isolated, y'all. Israel is a nation the size of the state of New Jersey in the midst of the Arab nations. And the whole world, one by one, is turning against them. God said, speak comfortably to them and let them know he had to punish them for a while. He said, but let them know that the warfare between them and him is done. The iniquity has been pardoned. Their evil has been pardoned. It's done deal. And when you see that where he said, God has issued a pardon to Israel. He said, but you got to accept it. But I'm issuing the pardon. That's our job, y'all. Speak to my people comfortably. Our job is to tell his people the war is over. God has offered you a pardon. And he said, but that sign, because the Jew requires a sign, that sign is going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Let's talk about that voice. Let's talk about the message and the historicity of John the Baptist. Let's talk about the message and the historicity of John the Baptist. Because the Jews are waiting for the Messiah. But if John is, if according to Scripture, John is who he says he is, the Messiah has come. And I want for those of us in here to search the Scriptures and make sure. And then I want you to share that with anybody that God puts in your path. And I hope and I pray to God that he puts more of the Jewish nation into our path, because that's why we were saved, to provoke the Jew to jealousy. The historicity and the message of John the Baptist. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Why is the history? We're going to do something. I want you to become familiar with a term called forensic language. Forensic language. Forensic language is it's words that you use. It's terminology that you use to. It's just like a forensic scientist when he goes to a crime scene. He looks at where the bullets are laid out. He looks at victim is laid out, and he deconstructs the whole thing, and he kind of puts it all together and says, here's what happened. So when we look at these scriptures, and we're trying to find out if John the Baptist is who he is, who the Bible says he is, we need to look for the forensic language, look for dates, times, places, things that can be verified historically. That's why we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 4. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, now in the 15th year, and look at how specific the word of God is. You don't have to guess when this took place. He says, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch, that's one of those words. Tetrarch means it's something that's been divided into four. This was divided into four, the kingdoms of four generals. So he's saying the tetrarch. Pilate being the governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. Not Abilene, Texas. Abilene. I know that throws us off sometimes. Verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Look at how specific the Bible describes this man. Look and understand, there's nothing put in here just for, oh, by the way. It's put in here so that you and I can specifically, historically find out who is this man, John the Baptist. Because remember, no John, no Jesus. So we got to find out who is this man, John the Baptist. And it gives you the time and the place where he's preaching. And in verse 3, it gives you something very interesting. John is preaching a message that hitherto had not been preached, because there was always the sacrificial system. There was always the temple. And everybody would go make an annual sacrifice, and they'd make this annual sacrifice, which was an atonement, which covered up the sins. It covered their sins. But John is not preaching atonement. Oh, no, John's preaching good news, y'all. John is saying, here's the message. Repent, that means turn. That means turn from what you're doing to turn to what's right. He says, repent for the remission of sins. Freedom. How about that, y'all? He's telling the Jewish community, repent, turn from what you think about God, repent from how you think about the Messiah, and receive the remission. That means, as far as God is concerned, when you repent, your sins are gone. They are cast away. You don't have to come back next year and kill another cow. You don't have to come back next year and kill another lamb. It's done. And John is the one who comes on the scene. According to the book of Luke, John comes on the scene. And just like Isaiah, when you see Isaiah, that's the Greek version of Isaiah. So just like Isaiah was saying, listen for that voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. All too often, and the Jews miss this, y'all, but I want that we could take them down a logical path and show them according to Scripture, because they know who John the Baptist is. They know who all these tetrarchs are. They know who these high priests are. And you could take them right down the line and say, here's one of the problems for them and us. All too often, they're looking for a person, and they're not listening for the voice. We get caught up in looking at people and personalities and et cetera, et cetera, and we aren't listening for the word. We got to get to the point, y'all. We listen for the word, the truth, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. The historicity of John the Baptist, it's all put together right there in verses 1 through 4. And again, when he says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. It's a beautiful way of saying, roll out the red carpet. You know, we do it for Hollywood celebrities. We do it for athletes. We even flock to the shopping malls. We go anywhere and everywhere to try to find something big and something glamorous. And the scripture's saying, why are you doing that's okay. That's okay. He says, but can you make some room? Can you make some room for Jesus? Can you set aside some time for Jesus? Can you prepare? And when he says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, he's talking about getting our hearts right. Getting our hearts right to receive the word of God. We thought when we read in scripture, and we'll be talking about it in the next couple weeks, when we say, oh my goodness, Mary went to the inn. Mary and Joseph went to the inn, and there was no room in the inn for baby Jesus. Okay, that was then. What about now? Do you have any room for baby Jesus? Is there any room for Jesus in our lives? Or do we just kind of, we kind of got a little slot over here for him on Sundays. Now, don't you interfere with me. I got a football game I got to watch. I got skating. I got this. I got that. I got shopping. And Lord knows I got to go to work. Got to go to work. Oh, who made you healthy enough to go to work? Well, you know, I give him a couple hours on Sunday. I want y'all to be honest with yourself. And just when you go home, I want you to add up all the hours that you spend in dedicated time serving the Lord. Some of us won't need a calculator. Some of us can and have fingers left over. Count up the hours. I said hours. I'm not even saying days. Skip that. You might not get the whole day. How many hours do we yield our members to serving the one who gave us eternal life? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. First thing we need to do is talk about the historicity and the message. That message is powerful. He says, repent. He says, you can't come to God just, you can come just like you are, but you can't stay like you came. We Baptists love to sing, just as I am. Okay, that's cool. That's how you come. But something's got to change. And it's not going to be God. So when you come to church, anticipate God to move on your heart, to change you from whatever it was when you came in the door to something that someone who has a closer walk and a greater understanding of him when you walk out the door. Make some room for him. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Another scripture that tells you about the historicity of John is Matthew 3, 1 through 3. You can write that down. We're not going to read that because it's like a repetition of what we just now spoke about. Matthew 3, 1 through 3. Because I want you to know that all four of the gospel writers are telling us, this is the man. This is the one. And we can boldly tell everybody else, and it's good for us to know, this is the purpose of John the Baptist. A lot of us thought it was just so we could name a denomination after him. We'd be Baptists. But no, that's not it. He has a great place in the historicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next thing we're going to talk about, we talked about the historicity and the message of John the Baptist. He said, repent and be baptized. He said, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, doing away with the sins. But let's talk about next the testimony of Jesus concerning John the Baptist. Again, no John, no Jesus. So let's see what Jesus has to say about John the Baptist. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verses 26 through 28. Luke chapter 7, verses 26 through 28. And Jesus is speaking here. And he says, but what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Jesus says, this man who came, according to Malachi 3:1, which you don't have to turn there, but Malachi 3:1, verse 27 is just a repetition of Malachi 3:1. Jesus says, this is he. This is the one that Malachi spoke of. This is the one that Isaiah spoke of. See, because the Jewish man doesn't use the New Testament, y'all. He doesn't believe the New Testament. He tells you, that's why I'm a Jew, because I don't believe the New Testament. I'm under the old covenant. So you and I have to be able to take him to Malachi. You and I have to be able to take him to Isaiah and say, they said, look for the one who, listen for the voice, not the person. Listen for the voice that says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Jesus says, John the Baptist, this is he. He's, because John is going around, he's preaching, he's teaching, people are following him, he's getting a great crowd. And Jesus said, this is he who Malachi spoke of, this is he who Isaiah spoke of. When Jesus says that John is the one, he's telling everybody, God has kept his promise. That's good for the Jews to know, and that's even better for us to know. See, because we don't have the history with God. We didn't come across the Red Sea on dry ground. We didn't walk through the wilderness. We didn't stand there while the walls of Jericho fell down. We didn't get to do any of that. So it's nice for us to see that this God that we have embraced, he's a God who keeps his word. Saints, whatever this word of God says to you, however it says it to you, you can always count on God to keep his word. That's the come. I can boldly tell you, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I don't hope I'm going to heaven. Even John the Baptist was preaching, repent, and you got the remission. My sins have been paid for. Not because I'm so good, but because God's so good. That's the come I can tell you. I'm going to heaven. I got issues. But my Savior says, my blood is sufficient. And if his blood didn't get it done, there's not much you can do to add to it. In fact, there's nothing you can do to add to it. Jesus says, he is the one. That's the testimony of Jesus concerning John the Baptist. So we got the historicity and the message of John the Baptist, because we got to understand this man is important. This man is important to the Christmas message. This man is important to the gospel message all year round. We got the historicity. And we have the testimony of Jesus concerning John the Baptist. And now we're going to talk about the testimony of John the Baptist concerning Jesus. Because it all ties together. It has to. in order for him to be the one that the Bible says he is. The testimony of John concerning Jesus, the Christ. The testimony of John concerning Jesus, the Christ. Something went south. Something went way south. Because John was preaching. The Bible says that people were coming from miles around. John was like a rock star TV mega church preacher. People coming from miles around. John even, he preached some stuff so tough. Who would go to a church where when you show up, the preacher says, "What are you doing here, you brood of vipers? Who warned you about the things to come?" I won't do that. Or y'all prefer for the cheap preacher to hold up a Bible and tell a joke? I said it. John said, "You got to repent." John didn't have, there's no coming in here talking about, "I'm going to think about it." There's no coming in here talking about, "Give me some time." John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So why did not the Jews receive the kingdom right then, right there? Because the Bible clearly says, it's yours for the taking. It's yours. All you got to do is change what you think about God and accept what is spoken from the voice crying in the wilderness, saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." What happened? Why didn't they accept what John was saying? In the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 15, John chapter 1, verse 27, John chapter 1, verse 30. It's John chapter 1, verses 15, 27, and 30. In those verses, I'm going to read John 1, 15. That's the only one I'm going to read. John 1:15 reads, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Wait a minute. Let me see if I got that straight. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. That word that says preferred means this person that John is talking about. John says he came into being. He wasn't created. He came into being. This brings us to our Christmas story. He came into being before me. But when you read the historicity of John the Baptist, everybody knows that the gospel writers say that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. He's his cousin in the flesh. But John is saying, "I know what that says, but I know from the scriptures that the one that I'm presenting to you, he was preferred, he came into being before I got here." John introduced a stumbling block to the program. See, John was doing fine. John was rocking and rolling. He was gaining fame. He was gaining the name. And everybody was coming out to be baptized with John. But what happened? Something that often happens in truth, in churches that actually separate people. You know, some people walk out of churches because you give them truth. And they don't like truth. Truth has a way of cutting. But the Bible says that word is like surgery. When you got a cancer, it's got to be cut out. And when that cancer is cut out by that truth, then you can start healing. And John said to him, he said, this man that I'm talking about, he came before me. The one who came after me is the one who came before me. He was preferred before him. John presented this stumbling block. Now everybody's kind of wondering, okay, so is John really the one who, that voice crying in the wilderness? Here's what they do. They ask John, down to those scriptures that I just gave you, I won't read the scriptures, I'll just kind of paraphrase, and I'll give you what it says, and then I'll get back. The priests and the scribes, they came out to John, and they said, okay, you've been preaching, you've been telling us to repent, you've been telling us that the remission of sins is right here for us. You're telling us that we don't have to go through the temple system anymore. We don't have to offer any more sacrifices. You're telling us that if we'll just change our mind about what God has said about who this man is. John says, yes. He says, but the person I'm talking about is the one who came after me, is the one who came into being before me. So the scribes and the priests, they cornering. I got this picture of how, you know, John is out here and he's preaching. And so this is like all the big dogs come out. These are the preaching heavyweights. These are the guys who all got mega churches. They got the 5 and 10 and, you know, and they're the mega church people. And here's John. Here's John dressed in a camel skin, and he's coming, and he don't like going out to eat. You can't sway him with your money, because money don't mean nothing to John. You can't say, John, hey, I'm going to give you a nice new suit, because John say, I got my camel hair. I don't need your suit. You can't bribe him with money. He said, I ain't never had none, so I ain't missed it. He said, so I can preach. You can't get me to, you can't pay me to preach. Because it don't come into my mindset. And they said, okay. We know you ain't gonna act right, but let's see. Are you? They said, are you the Christ? Because they're looking for Jesus, but they don't want him the way that God wants him to come. They want him to come the way they want him to come. See, they're looking for the Messiah, but see, I told you, John threw a wrench in, because they're looking for a Messiah who's going to come, who's going to be at least as bad as Joshua. Because Joshua, when Joshua approached the angel, when he, the captain of the host, Joshua said, you need to declare to me what side you on. Joshua is showing up. Or at least he could be like Samson. Samson was taking names. Anybody, stand up against Samson, I'll knock you out. Samson was taking names. Or maybe they were looking for a Jesus. They were looking for a Messiah who was kind of like David's son, Absalom. I like Absalom. Absalom, they say Absalom had hair, boom, down to there. They said he cut it once a year. And they said the women just hang around and wait for his hair to get cut. It's like, oh, Absalom. That's an ad-lib part. But they wanted somebody who was going to be something, somebody who was going to show those Romans who's boss, somebody who's going to set this world straight. Just like right now, we're sitting here, we're watching people get killed in Paris, watching people get killed in California, we're watching people get killed in Israel, and we're saying, Lord, will somebody come and straighten this place out? This place has gone crazy. They said, are you the Christ? And John said, no. And they said, are you that prophet? And John said, no. And they said, in verse 21, art thou Elias? That's the Greek way of saying Elijah. See, because the Jews had a tradition where, because Elijah was caught up in a fiery chariot, they felt that he was going to be the voice crying in the wilderness. But that's not what Isaiah said. Isaiah did not say it was going to be Elijah. Isaiah said it's going to be the voice. And every year, Every year at Passover, when the Jewish families sit down to have Passover, every year at the end of the night, the youngest child goes to the door. The father says, "Has Elijah come?" And they look out the door. And they say, "No." And the father says, "Maybe next year." See, God is saying to us, those of us who name the name of Christ, he's saying, "Will you please speak comfortably to my people? Will you please reach out to my people and tell my people I have put the pardon there for them. I have, the war is over. Let them know that they can't work their way to heaven. God has made a provision, not just for them, but he's made that provision for all of us. The war is over." And he says, "Receive that pardon." How do we, the Bible says, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. God says, "You have changed your, you have repented. You have changed your mind about what you thought about God. And now, as a result, I'm giving you a full pardon." It's done. He says, "Speak comfortably to my children." And sometimes when you're talking to your Jewish friends, it gets very argumentative. But he says, you still got to talk to them. You still got to let them know God has kept his promise. And it's important because the Bible says if he gets saved, unlike any other people group, and it's a wonder, the Bible says the angels rejoice every time somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ. But unlike any other people group, the Bible says when that Jewish man gets saved, it's like one brought back from the dead. How much praise will you give God if he bring you back from the dead? You can't nobody shut you up. And you know what? God has done a lot for us right now. Nobody should be able to shut us up right now. God has been good to us. He has been good to me as an individual. He's been good to you. Yeah, we got issues. Yeah, we got problems. But God has been good to us. God has been good to this church. And he says, let the redeemed say so. Stop holding your tongue. Stop holding back. Let people know. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. They said, are you the Christ? He said, no. They said, are you that prophet? He said, no. They said, are you Elijah? See, because they were looking for Elijah. They were looking for a man. They weren't listening for the voice. And they said, well, man, if you're not the Christ, if you're not the prophet, and if you're not Elijah, who in the world are you? And I think old boy stood there in his camel hair suit, piece of suit, and he says, I am. See, we're talking about the testimony. We're talking about the testimony. First, we talked about the testimony about John. Now we're talking about the testimony of John, what John is saying about John. Jesus said he is the one. Now John is saying, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. What happened? What happened? Why did the Jews not receive that message? Because John threw a stumbling block in their way. And here's how he did it. The Bible says that a few days after they were giving him this inquisition, John looked up and he saw walking down the street Jesus. And John told him, the one who came after me is the one who came into being before me. And then he looked at Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away, don't cover up, don't kick it down the road till next year, takes away the sin. By the way, he didn't say sins, he said sin? What is the sin? The sin is that the light has come into the world and men love darkness. That's the only sin that will get you in hell. When you reject the free gift of salvation, when you fight back the urge of the speaking of the Holy Spirit, when you fight that back, he goes, that's the sin that Jesus has come to pay for. When you accept Jesus, he's your lamb. He's your sacrifice. He's a once and for all sacrifice for the sin of the world. And I think, see, John had them going up till then. They were with him up till then. They were coming near and far for the baptism. They were coming to hear him preach. They were coming to hear him teach. They were coming in droves until he said, this is the guy. Now, I got news for you. When you're looking for a Joshua, are you looking for a Samson? Are you looking for an Absalom? And you get a guy who the Bible says, the way Jesus looked, I know y'all seen the pictures where sometimes they got him looking like a muscle man. The Bible says when you looked at him, it's nothing special. Nothing that would make you desire him for what he looked like. And so the Jews looked at him, and they said, no, thank you. We'll pass on that one. They walked away from John, and they walked away from the free gift, the salvation. But I want you to know, God did not walk away from them. God took that message and he put it with us, everybody here. And he says, now you know. You know the message and you know their situation. And he says, I have promised to take care of you. And I will take care of you. But I expect you to go and tell my people. Next week, we're going to talk about how does the one who came after me be preferred before me? How does the one who came after me come into existence before me? That's our Christmas message there, y'all. That's where we talk about the virgin birth. That's where we talk about the child born and put in the manger. See, because before he gets to where John is, John said he came before John. That means it's the incarnation of the Son of God. Next week, we're going to talk about that, the incarnation of the Son of God. And until then, until we get back to talk about that, church, I want you to prepare your hearts. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make some room in your heart for the word of God. Make some room in your heart to love folks who are unlovable. Make some room in your heart to give the gospel message out to friends and family. When you come together on Christmas Day, and don't let that day go by that there's anybody in that room that you're holding hands with and you're praying and you're waiting by get ready to eat. Don't let that day go by without you let somebody know. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Get your heart right. And don't allow Jesus. You don't be looking for a man. Be listening for the voice. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says, When you read these texts, I want you to search for details. Search for forensic language. Look for dates. Look for times. Look for historicity. Look for accuracy so that when people challenge you, you can tell them, here it is. And last, after you've searched these details, after you've searched the scriptures, after you hear that voice, if you find out that the history of John is accurate, if you find out that the testimony of Jesus about John the Baptist is reliable, and after you find out if the testimony of Jesus, if the testimony of John about Jesus is truthful, then you can tell everybody, yourself included, the war is over. Your pardon is awaiting you. All you have to do is change your mind about who you say Jesus is. That's repent. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you shall be saved. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. God bless you.